On today's edition of Fast Talk, from the NASCAR Wire Services, we visit with Holly Kane, and from the Motor Racing Network and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Dave Moody dropped by on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network is brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Welcome to Fast Talk. On this show, we'll talk with Holly Kane. Holly is a writer for the NASCAR Wire Service. She has a lengthy newspaper history, has been covering NASCAR for well over three decades. So we'll talk to Holly about the NASCAR that was and the one that is going on right now. Should be a fascinating interview. And after that, nicknamed the Godfather, Dave Moody is easily one of the most recognizable voices in all of NASCAR. He was one of the founding members of SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, has been the Turn 1 announcer for the Motor Racing Network for well over three decades. He's a little brash, he's opinionated, but he has great insight, and he shares all of that with us on Fast Talk. So Holly Kane and Dave Moody showing up on this show as we'll continue to interview media personalities throughout the offseason. And of course, as we are recording this show, the number one topic is the NASCAR lawsuit. The lawsuit filed by 2311 and Front Row Motorsports against NASCAR. It starts today as of December 1st. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I can promise you this. I think whatever the outcome of this trial is, it will be tremendously impactful on NASCAR going forward. If NASCAR loses this lawsuit, I feel like the ramifications probably are a lot deeper than if they win. And if they win, I would suspect that maybe 2311 and Front Row Motorsports are not chartered race teams anymore. That's just my speculation. I'm not an expert on legal affairs, but that looks to be the outcome if NASCAR wins the lawsuit. If they lose and 2311 and Front Row come out on top, the options are wide open. But no matter how this plays out, it is going to impact this sport for decades to come. It has already impacted the sport. So much buzz around it and a lot of negativity around it that I'm sure right now that both sides are thinking, how did we get to this point? But they seem to be dug in. And as of December 1st, 2025, they are going to trial. The other big story that we don't know the answer to, and that may be on contingent of what happens in the lawsuit, is what's the playoff format going to look like next year? You've heard all the speculation. Could go back to the old 10-race chase. Could be a modified playoff format of what we have had. Maybe it's the 36-race schedule, and we go back to the format of the old Winston Cup days. There is so much speculation about this. Curious to see which way the wind is going to blow as far as a new format is concerned. But I have a feeling that we will get that announcement probably in the new year after this trial is over. Right now, we've been told to allow 10 working days for the trial to play out. So that's a couple of weeks, and hopefully it's over before then, and we can get back to something close to business as usual. So there's lots of great outlets. There are lots of wonderful reporters doing their due diligence to let you know what's happening with the NASCAR and 2311 Front Row Motorsports legal proceedings. Coming up on the show, two folks that I'm delighted to call friends, Holly Kane of NASCAR Wire Services, and then we'll move in and chat with Dave Moody here on Fast Talk.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on the Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for the Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice. Coming up on this show, we're going to talk with two of the most well-known media personalities in the NASCAR universe. On the back end of the show, we'll chat with Dave Moody, famous of the Motor Racing Network. And right now, up first is going to be Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. I've had the pleasure of knowing Holly for the past couple of decades. Holly, first of all, thanks a lot for the gift of your time to be on our season ending shows here on Fast Talk. We appreciate that.
Well, I'm always honored to be asked to be on here and get a chance to talk with you, Doug.
Holly, for folks that might not know you or maybe familiar with your name, but not know your backstory, how did Holly Kane, University of Southern Florida person, wind up at the NASCAR Wire Service? What's the Holly Kane story there?
All right, I'm not going to give you the 3-hour version.
It's fine. We got time.
Yes. Well, I started out working at the Tampa Tribune right out of college at USF and covered auto racing because when you live and work in Central Florida, you've got the 12 hours of Sebring, the Rolex 24, the Daytona 500. And that's what I had at the very beginning. And I started specializing in that. Loved it. Did all the races I could. Moved to the Dallas Morning News, and they had just opened Texas Motor Speedway a year before I went to Dallas. So that was fantastic. Did a lot of work with the IRL races there as well as the NASCAR races. Moved to Seattle, a little bit less on the racing beat, a little bit more. I covered the Seattle Mariners a lot, Seattle Seahawks. Still did some racing because Casey Kane and Greg Biffle came up through the NASCAR ranks at that point. Gave me a lot of good storylines to write. And then from there, moved on and worked for CBS Sportsline, worked for AOL FanHouse, got to do some really wonderful things, and then the NASCAR Wire Service and also NASCAR.com. So I've been fortunate in my career, Doug. I've gotten to cover everything from IndyCar to NASCAR. Right now, I cover the Formula One race when it's in Florida and Miami. So, and a lot of NHRA along the way and sports cars too. So that's my background in motorsports.
So in the old newspaper vernacular, you've published a lot of column inches.
That's a fair statement. Yes, it is. Especially this is my 35th year working in journalism.
And you've authored a couple of books along the way.
I have. I wrote a big book on Rusty Wallace's called the that happened at the end of Rusty's career. It chronicled his final season. And we just, along with Herb Branham, who I worked with in Tampa, we just co-authored a book called NASCAR Mavericks, which is a really cool coffee table book about different people in NASCAR throughout the years and kind of stories you may or may not have heard. And it's one of those, every story is only a couple pages. So kind of a cool book. And another one coming.
Folks, I'll help Holly out here a little bit. If you're looking for a nice Christmas present for the NASCAR fan, on your list, NASCAR Mavericks is excellent because chances are there's some people in there that they profile that you really like. Before we jump into that, you got to do something really cool at the last Las Vegas race weekend tied in with the Xfinity race?
I did. I got to be the grand marshal of the Xfinity race and joined other people to do the gentlemen start your engines command, and then jumped into a pace car and got to pace the field. And it was really very nice. It was kind of a nod to I'm a breast cancer survivor, and it was allowing me to do that because that weekend was really celebrating and honoring the people that have gone through that. And so it meant a lot to me to do that and do it on the behalf of a lot of people that we know, you and I know, Doug, that have gone through this horrible disease. And hopefully I can provide some smiles and say you can get through it. So that was what was most important to me.
Wow, what a neat thing to be able to do. You covered racing for three decades. You've met a lot of folks along the way. What about characters? What about folks that are a little off the beaten path that you always maybe didn't always look forward to interviewing, but you knew it would be interesting when you did?
Well, I could tell you there's one off the beaten path, and he was actually an alien. He competed in the Rolex 24 one year, and that was seriously his background. And so that was really interesting. I had not interviewed somebody like that before.
And now you can't just drop that and let it go. You say alien these days. That's almost a trigger word.
I think it's best. He had spent some time on another planet and, was living his best life on Earth. Yeah. And so trust me, if you Googled myself, and alien at the Rolex 24, it would come up. He did not win that year, but that'll be okay. And if you want to
talk, I never knew Rob Lowe raced. That's interesting.
Hey, now he is definitely not an alien. But I've also been lucky. If you want to talk characters, I mean, how about John Force, who's about to retire? Yeah. Getting a chance to cover him was great. I always like to joke when people ask me about him. If I went to do an interview with him, whatever question I asked, he took that question and he went with whatever he wanted to say. He would go and go. He was just an amazing person. And sometimes I think his bold personality, what happens is his talent gets lost, and he is absolutely amazing and a legend. And speaking of which, I've always been excited to have spent time and know Mario Andretti. I got to cover Nigel Mansell and Richard Petty. That goes without saying. So I've been really fortunate over my time in auto racing to cover some people that were definitely interesting.
Is there anyone in the current crop of NASCAR drivers that could develop into a character? I don't know if there's one right now that really qualifies, but is there somebody you see, well, that person's got potential?
I think, Doug, the difference now is they kind of bring their own social media to the table, and they kind of carefully create what they want their persona to be and how they want to be taken in. I think that there are definitely some guys that are willing to still be a little edgier. I think Kyle Busch is never going to be 100% honed in to a certain way. Ross Chastain, I would argue, is the same way. And they're guys that still bring big personality and aren't quite as worried about the polish that maybe others have in our modern day racing.
You mentioned social media. We spend so many hours consuming it. At least I do. Way too much. How big a deal is that right now for a driver? I know all of them say, all I want to do is race. I think of Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott doesn't care about anything but getting into a race car. But how important is that now to their persona?
Well, I believe it's very important. I mean, it's essentially now the outlet that connects them to fans. I mean, let's face it, newspapers, unfortunately, are waning. Going online, obviously the online outlets are super important, and they do a fantastic job of covering the sport. But I feel like what social media does is it kind of disconnects that middle guy and lets you get to know the driver based on what the driver wants to do. It's the driver's interaction with the fan and having that direct access. Even Chase Elliott may not prefer social media, but he's on social media and he communicates that way. So I think what it is just the modern version of how fans connect to their favorite drivers and athletes in all sports.
Holly, I don't know any of us could have predicted the media landscape that we live in 2025. But when you first started, you were a newspaper writer. You rode in Dallas and you rode in Seattle, and the paper showed up and you hopefully were on the front page of the sports section above the fold. What is the biggest transition you've seen from that day to where we are now? And how would you like to surmise that?
Also, part of that is the deadline. You know, we had an 11 o'clock, maybe they could push it to an 11:30 p.m. deadline on a Saturday night, which meant that your news when you woke up happened 12 hours ago, minimally, typically. And so now I think the biggest difference is it's a 24-hour news cycle. And that's where Twitter and social media comes in. And frankly, any of the big outlets that are still online, I mean, New York Times is still online. If a major story happens at 2 a.m., it's going to be published as soon as possible. So I think the timeliness of it is the biggest thing. I will also say, though, maybe because I grew up as a newspaper journalist and my career was spent primarily in that, I think the one thing that fans and readers, you know, getting this information have to be careful for is now anyone can put something out on Twitter. The legitimacy of that person and, quite frankly, respecting them as a journalist has to play some sort of role in this. You can't just anyone, in other words, could put whatever they want on social media. So you have to be a lot more discerning on, is this person getting it? You know, what are their sources? Is it something I can believe? Or is it just, you know, putting out rumors? And I think that's what people have to really watch for now.
Holly, I remember when the Braves won the World Series back in the early 90s. I waited till the next day and drove to the Charlotte airport because I could go there and buy an Atlanta Journal-Constitution newspaper that said Braves win and had the headline on it. I don't even think today Atlanta publishes a material newspaper.
It's funny you say that. I was out exercising this morning and I was trying to take my neighbor's paper up to the front door so they wouldn't have to walk. And I noticed that it had the Bucs game from Sunday night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game from Sunday night on there. And, you know, that was 2 days ago at this point. So it's just a different way. And I will say newspapers are trying to adapt. You won't necessarily see the in-the-minute game story, as we call it in the business, but maybe a look back and a different take on it. But they're still there. And I hear you, Doug. I remember those days.
And I hope they do not disappear entirely. We're talking with Holly Kane, NASCAR Wire Service. We'll continue our chat right after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A-car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll be talking with MRN's Dave Moody. Right now, I'm thrilled to be chatting with Holly Kane. Holly, we just wrapped up the 2025 NASCAR season. Maybe a bit of a surprise champion the way the race was going in Phoenix. But who really made strides this past year? Who helped their career the most in the NASCAR Cup Series this last year?
Well, I mean, that's certainly the million-dollar question. While people may not have thought Kyle Larson was going to become a multi-time champion in NASCAR this year, he certainly has some statistics to back it up. He may not have had as many wins as Denny Hamlin, but he led more laps. He was in these races. He had multiple wins. And so I disagree with anyone that thinks he's completely undeserving. I don't think that's the case. So I think what we saw out of him, I also think out of one of our other Final Four competitors, William Byron, I think that he really turned in a fantastic season. And with each year, you know, he's so young, you can kind of see even in his face that he feels like this should be the year. You know, each passing year, he's gotten better and better. He's a two-time Daytona 500 winner. This season coming up, he'll be trying to become the first person ever to win three Daytona 500s. I wouldn't say that's something that couldn't happen. So I certainly think those obvious guys had really great years, but you also saw Shane Van Gisbergen, for example, win five road course races. However, at the end of the year, also get really good, or at least better, I should say, for him on the ovals. I think he's going to make a lot of noise next year. And obviously, Joe Gibbs Racing, you've got Christopher Bell, who had a strong season, but just kind of still needs that something else. Chase Elliott will be back. I think that it's a lot of the people that you count on, but it's just a matter of who can get it done in whatever the format may be.
Holly, I've talked to other guests about the same question. Is there a team or organization, and you may have already mentioned it, that can actually rival the big three, the Hendrick, Penske, Gibbs triumvirate that sets at the top of the charts?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Trackhouse Racing, because I think next year they've got, you know, Connor Zillich coming in for a rookie of the year season. They've got Shane Van Gisbergen, who has proven he can win, but as I said, really stepped up his oval game. And you have Ross Chastain, who's been in the Final Four before and certainly been a legitimate championship contender. I think that program needs to kind of get back a little, raise its game. And I think that's somebody who wants to and certainly could be. Connor Zillich, you know, how he won 10 races this year in the Xfinity Series. I think, and he's the first to admit it, it's a big step up to try and do that kind of thing at the Cup Series. And frankly, as a fantastic road course racer that he is, he's going to find that his biggest competition comes from within when he tries to do something that he's really secure with. So I think if you had to pick one team, I think Trackhouse Racing for sure might be the one to kind of raise their game.
Now, Zillich is still a teenager, but you told me a couple of years ago in a media center that I can't remember where, hey, you need to watch out for this kid. How did you know and what came up on your radar that made you think Connor Zillich is somebody to watch?
Obviously, what he has done. But again, I kind of what I love about covering motorsports is I'm not just in one niche. So it wasn't necessarily what he did in NASCAR, but also the fact that as a teenager, he won his class in the Rolex 24 Daytona and answered it with a win in the 12 hours of Sebring, two extremely difficult endurance races. Plus, he really cut his teeth over in Europe. And at one point, I bet he thought maybe he was going to go Formula One racing. So he has this wide variety of skill coming from different things. So he's done the sports cars. He's done the open seaters. And now he comes into NASCAR and just goes crazy in his rookie season, which people forget he was still learning these tracks. He was still learning these ovals. And he came in and he won 10 races, 9 races, 10 if we count the Parker Kligerman one at Daytona. But still, in 5 years, no one's going to remember, sorry, Parker, that happened probably. But at any rate, I think that he's legitimate. But he also says, and I just spoke with him a couple weeks ago at Daytona as he was preparing for this year's Rolex 24, he concedes he's still got a lot to learn. So we'll see, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a race this year.
You would not be surprised if Connor Zillich, a rookie, wins a race in the Cup Series. Is that a road course race? Did it have to take away from his teammate SVG?
I think that's probably the most obvious thing, yes.
What about the other guy over there that nobody's talking about anymore? What about your native Floridian Ross Chastain? Where's his story arc right now?
Well, I think that the team as a whole on ovals didn't quite do what they had done a year earlier last season. So, you know, Ross is as hungry as ever. In fact, I think he's most dangerous when he's really hungry. And so he missed not being in the championship four this year, and he missed not winning more races. So I think when they get it all together, as their team owner, Justin Marks, has said, we've reorganized. They had a lot of personnel changes this season. So we'll see how they do. But I think Ross has to absolutely be considered somebody that is going to challenge for a spot in the championship.
All right, Ollie, we just talked about SVG and Ross Chastain, and I've asked everybody this question, and I'm curious, really curious to see what you think. Is there a transcendent star for the NASCAR world in the making right now? And when I say that, I mean people like Jeff Gordon, who could go on Saturday Night Live, the late night talk shows, popped on up on every cereal box in the world. Tony Stewart, that same kind of person. Dale Earnhardt Jr., I don't really feel like became that transcendent personality until after he was out of the car and discovered who he was as a person. But we've seen a handful of these that could be legitimate stars away from the racetrack, and people knew who they were, even if they'd never been to a race or watched one. Is there anybody like that in the NASCAR orbit right now?
I think there's a lot of potential, Doug. I think Connor Zilich is one. I think one of his best friends, Jesse Love, who won the Xfinity Series championship last year and drives for Richard Childress. I think these drivers that are in their early 20s, I mean, literally early 20s, stand that opportunity to transcend. The difference is how much they have to play into kind of that corporate speak or that corporate feel. And that's something they have to juggle, getting their personalities out there while still making the companies they represent very happy. And I would think the companies want them to do that. So I think these young guys at the celebration banquet, well, I guess it's not necessarily a banquet, the awards ceremony this year in Phoenix. And I know there's video of it. Everyone can see Jesse Love and Connor Zilich were the only two to climb on stage and start singing Sweet Caroline and get the whole audience dancing and having a great time. And I thought that really said a lot. It wasn't the Cup guys. It was these two young talents coming up.
You used a phrase there, corporate speak, which is also second cousin to another phrase that I love, which is, and you've covered a lot of other sports. You've covered football, baseball, lots of sports where there is a coach. And they use another branch of that called coach speak. What do you know a good example of somebody giving you coach speech, or what, you know, a clip of what coach speech sounds like? It sounds a little bit like what he's told in Bull Durham to say.
Well, unfortunately, each week at our media availabilities, there are certain drivers that you can kind of count on that are going to do that. And if I'm going to be completely honest with you, those aren't the guys I want to go to and get stuff from. I want to get a quote from somebody that's not all wrapped up in that. I understand where they're coming from, but I want to hear the genuineness, the heartfelt stuff. So I tend to steer clear of the coach speakers.
Holly, all we need is what is best for the show. That's all we need here. Just what is best for the show. A genuine example of coach speak there. Holly, always a real pleasure to chat with you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And what's the first motorsport event you'll be covering next year?
The Roar Before the 24. I'm excited to cover the Rolex 24 and go do some interviews during the test session there.
And if folks want to follow you on social, they need to go where?
I'm on Twitter at @HollyCain, C-A-I-N, and I'm also on Instagram at @HollyCain. And I want to thank you, Doug, for having me on this year. It's been such a pleasure getting to speak with you, and thanks again. Hope you have a great holiday.
Will do. Always a lot of fun, and we appreciate Holly Cain. Coming up next from the Motor Racing Network, we talk with the Godfather, Dave Moody.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm PRN's Alexis Erickson. Want to listen to PRN anywhere you go? By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to live race broadcasts and have on-demand access to your favorite shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, Garage Pass, and PRN's At the Track. Download today to make sure you don't miss any of the action. Get the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available on Apple App Store and Google Play. Find more information at goprn.com.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Welcome back to Fast Talk. We appreciate Holly Kane joining us the first half of the show, and now a guy that also I've had the pleasure of knowing for a long time, Dave Moody. He is the Turn 1 main announcer for the Motor Racing Network. He is the host of Sirius Speedway on Sirius XM NASCAR. And Dave, if I am not mistaken, you are the first voice and regular host ever on what is now Sirius XM.
I guess that's probably half correct, because I came aboard back before the merger. So XM did their deal, and Claire was first there.
Okay.
And Sirius did their deal, and I was the first man in the door at Sirius, and then we merged.
You have spent countless hours on Sirius XM NASCAR radio talking with race fans. What do you take away from that? What's the sense of the pulse you get from chatting with people 5 days a week, 3 hours at a swath?
I think you're probably right. I probably do talk to more NASCAR fans in a week than anybody else on planet Earth. And in our line of business, you know, what we're doing is sports talk radio. You can't do sports talk radio unless you're willing to let people talk. And I hear, you know, the generic stick and ball sports talk radio, where the average caller sits on hold for 2 hours to get 13 seconds on the air to make his point and then immediately get cut off. And I've always felt like our listeners deserve better than that. I'm not saying you're going to get on the minute you call. Sometimes it's a few minutes, but you know how it is, because you've hosted shows on our channel. When you're taking calls, it's a name and where they're calling from and what they want to talk about. And quite honestly, when the what you want to talk about line includes thinks Dave is wrong or disagrees with Dave, I put them right to the top of the heap, because I generally learn more from people that disagree with me than I do people that agree.
Truer words were never spoken. And I know you get this a lot, but I want to share it with the audience, because I like talking about the business of broadcasting. And I'm sure, along with all these callers you've had countless people, they want your job. They want to be the next Dave Moody, and they want to break into this game and talk on the radio or be on television. Lay some sage Dave Moody wisdom on me here.
that from a lot of young people that say, I would like to have your job one day. How do I get to where you are? And I tell them, find your local short track, go to the promoter and say, I will work for you free for 1 year. I'll be your pit road reporter. I'll do pre-race, post-race, and intermission, telling everybody where the concession stands and the crappers are. I'll do anything you want me to do, and you don't have to pay me. I'm just here for the experience and to prove to you that I'm willing to work hard and learn. 50% of the people that I tell that to say, well, I'm not working for free. And I immediately respond, well, you're probably not going to get where I am, because it was beans and weenies for a long time before any of us made it to the national stage.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time on the baloney circuit before you move up to even Meatloaf. So I can appreciate that. You've done a tremendous amount of short track, local-based announcing. In your travels and the thousands of races you've done, can you give me a couple of places and events that are not the Daytona 500s or Indy 500s where you went and you went like, This is almost perfect, what I'm watching here today?
There are a lot of great short track races around the country. I am severely biased toward the track that I grew up at, and that is the late Kenley Dean Squires, Nation's Site of Excitement, Thunder Road International Speed Bowl, high atop Quarry Hill in Barry. I grew up there. I ended up being the track announcer there for 30 years. They got a little race called the Vermont Milk Bowl, which is probably the most challenging format in short track motorsports. Three segments where you got to come from the rear at least twice to win the overall championship. And the winner kisses Miss Vermont Milk Bowl in Victory Lane, who is a registered Vermont dairy cow. You're not going to find that anywhere else.
I just love the feel of that. Just hearing you describe that, that's got to be awesome. Did they do figure eight there?
No, they've never done figure eight. They really don't need to, Doug, because yeah, it's a high bank quarter mile, concrete walls all the way around. The wall on the front straightaway has been there since they built the joint in 1961. And the top of the wall kind of lays back about 6 inches as compared to the bottom. So when you get into that wall, we averaged 1 year, we averaged more than two. I think it was 2.2 flips per week for an entire season. So they don't need no stinking V8s. They've got all the action they need straight up.
Yeah, that's like the Chili Bowl where they run the flip count. Did you ever call figure eight? The reason I'm asking that, because if you do figure eight, you have to be cheering for the crash.
Well, yeah. Whether you're cheering for it or not, that's obviously the attraction, right? It's, you know, when you go to the circus and you see the flying Willendas, you're not rooting for them to fall. But the fact that they can is kind of why you bought the ticket, right? I mean, there is a certain attraction to the death-defying Lucky Teeters Hell Drivers aspect of our sport, for sure.
I do feel like, and maybe this is not based in fact, it's just a feeling, that short tracks have, even though so many have closed, are enjoying a bit of a resurgence because of the things that you're talking about. There's an authenticity to go into your local short track that you don't get if you go to Charlotte, Darlington, or Daytona.
I learned at the feet of Ken Squire, and he told me something very early in my announcing career that I've never forgotten. He pointed out to the racetrack in the middle of a heat race on Thursday night, pointed to the guy that was leading and said, tomorrow morning, that guy may be picking up your garbage, but tonight he's a hero. And I think the short track aspect of our sport, the approachable hero that, you know, I went down to the pits after every Thursday night race, and I got autographs from Dave Dion and the Dragon Brothers and John Paul Cabana. And next Thursday night, I was right back standing there getting the same autographs from the same guys, just hoping that they might pat me on the head and say, hey, kid, how you doing? So, yeah, there's a lot of that short tracks offer that the bigger sport part of our sport can't.
You got a lot of laps under your belt. You still get the buzz when you crawl up in turn one for MRN to call a race?
I sure do. I've said this before, Doug. The day that I climb up on that Sunoco Tower in turn two on Daytona 500 Sunday, and the field comes by behind the pace car and the lights are turned out, and I know that the next time by they're going to come past me at 187 miles an hour, three wide. The day the hair doesn't stand up on the back of my neck is the day that I will retire. So far, there's no sign of that happening.
That is so good to hear. While we're in this sort of internal groove here talking about the business, big change over the last two or three years that folks that traditionally wore blue shirts that worked for MRN have been spotted in red shirts in the media centers and at racetracks, and the vice versa. PRN folks have been wearing MRN blue. I know Brad Gilley and Wendy Venturini, and I probably missed some folks, Alan Cavana. I like this development. I think it's really cool.
And, you know, people, I think, for years had a misconception and thought that there was some kind of an animosity, right? That the blue shirts and the red shirts didn't get along because they were competition. I never saw us as competition. I always loved PRN weeks because that meant that I got to sit at home around the pool and not jump on airplanes. So no, I never begrudged any of you guys getting out there and working some races. And, you know, we've all been friends for a lot of years. Other than the fact that, and you and I have joked about this, we live in the same town and we've run into each other in town accidentally exactly once in like 15 years. And that's because when you're home, I'm on the road. And when I'm home, you're on the road. Not a lot of time to cross paths at the Harris Teeter based on that.
And that was it, folks. That is the one random meeting that we have had in Salisbury, North Carolina. It was the produce department at the Harris Teeter. So we've actually intentionally got together a couple of times past that, and that's really good. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking with Dave Moody, Turn One announcer for the Motor Racing Network and host on SiriusXM NASCAR. And we'll move from the business of broadcasting to the business of racing right after this.
Listen, were you forced into getting a solar contract and now you just don't want it anymore? Maybe the solar company misled you. Or is your solar contract buried with hidden fees? Are you not saving the amount of money you thought you would on your energy costs? Don't worry. At the Solar Exit Hotline, we can help you cancel your solar contract, even if the panels are already installed. Our experienced legal team will review your contract and help you cancel it, possibly saving you thousands of dollars. You got to call right now for complete details. So listen, if you're not happy with your solar contract for any reason, we are here to help you cancel it. Call the Solar Exit Hotline now for immediate options to help you exit your solar contract. This call is 100% free.
800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. 800-471-3491. That's 800-471-3491.
I'm Ricky Stenhouse Jr., and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Welcome back to our off-season editions of Fast Talk. Doug Rice chatting with Dave Moody. Dave, we just put the cap on a very interesting NASCAR season with so many storylines. On track, what do you think 2025 is going to be remembered for?
I almost hate to say this, but the truth is what the truth is. I think it's going to be remembered as the biggest one of all that got away from Denny Hamlin. Because, you know, with three laps to go in the final race of the season at Phoenix, he was three quarters of the back straightaway ahead. Nobody had been able to mess with him all day long. And he was just on autopilot, heading for the checkered flag and a chance to who knows, maybe hoist that trophy in victory lane and do the ultimate mic drop and say, sorry, Coach Gibbs, I'm going home. It didn't work out that way. The late caution, some pit stop strategy, whether it was the right call, the wrong call, the indifferent call, it didn't work out for him. And Doug, I don't know. I've heard everything Denny's had to say since then. And I just wonder, you know, some scars never heal. And I don't know how he's going to get past this one, because this one really hurts.
You're a dad, and we all learn these things about how to coach our daughters and our kids after something goes bad, and we work on the pep talk. Dave, I don't know that there's anything you can say to Denny Hamlin that makes him feel any better after that.
You just wanted to hug his neck. Yeah. You really did. You know, Denny has said forever, I don't let stuff get to me. I thrive on controversy. I thrive on turmoil. I thrive on, you know, things that most people can't stand. I welcome. I guess we're going to find out in 2026, because if he can categorize this one, put it in the circular file, put it away and be the same old Denny Hamlin that he's always been, I'll be very, very impressed.
Well, to every yin, there's a yang. Kyle Larson, two-time champion. Is there a ceiling on what that guy can accomplish?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, he flies in a different orbit than most people. And I think that his team knows, is there anybody in the game that on a green, white checkered flag restart you'd rather have behind the wheel of your race car than Kyle Larson? Is there anybody else that's going to go five wide, an inch and a half off the outside retaining wall and pass seven guys on the final lap the way he does? He's just a rare talent. And every once in a while, I have to kind of kick myself and remind myself to think about how fortunate we are to be able to watch a guy like him do his job every Sunday afternoon.
I don't like using this phrase, but I do think he is generational. David, one time when you and I were first starting in this, there was a path to get to where we are watching people on Cup. I think Denny Hamlin followed that. Late model stocks, that sort of thing. Work your way up through the Southeast. Eventually somebody sees you and you make the big time. What is the path now to become a NASCAR Cup Series driver?
I think it's a multi-lane interstate at this point, Doug. And yeah, you're right. Back then you had to be Harry Gant. You had to be 35 years old and with a 100 late model sportsman wins and two track championships at Hickory or Greenville Pickens. And then for a while, it was all about Jeff Gordon and guys running sprint cars on dirt. And then it turned into ASA with Mark Martin and Alan Kulwicki and Rusty Wallace. And now we've kind of gone back to the old days. You know, Josh Berry came out of the late model stocks. Butterbean Queen is on his way to the top of the ladder. But I really love the fact that you can race just about anything there is to race in this country right now. And if you're just really good at it and you win a lot, the people at the top of the mountain are going to see you and they're going to reach out.
Or you can be William Byron and get discovered online.
Yeah, well, welcome to the new world, right? Yeah. Welcome to the new world. There, when you and I started out, nobody got discovered online because there was no online. There was no such thing. Either you went to the local short track on Friday or Saturday night, or you didn't see any racing because it sure as heck wasn't on TV. It's a different world, but boy, Willie B, he's taken advantage of every opportunity he's been given.
Wow, that is so quotable. There was no online, and true. I mean, we actually wrote letters back then, folks. It's amazing.
Right. And if there was online, it was dial up, you know, you got mail. And I don't think anybody was doing a whole lot of racing on that technology.
No, it's amazing where the tech is right now. Do you see another big tech innovation? There was so much talk when we went away from carburetors, and then we went to what they called the glass dashboard, which is just full instrumentation. And now we have video cameras that look out the back of the car instead of a mirror. Are they going to keep pushing the technology line out there?
I think time marches on, technology marches on. I know virtually nothing about it, but from what I hear, artificial intelligence may replace all of us here by the end of the week. I don't know if that's the next big thing or not, but you know, when people ask about is the new race car, and it's not new anymore, but the Gen 7 race car, is it going to evolve? Is it going to change? And my answer is always the same. If it doesn't, it will be the first race car in the 75-year history of our sport that didn't evolve and change, not year to year, but just week to week.
I do think it's remarkable, despite whether you like how this car performs or you think it's the greatest thing ever. I'm not going to step into that swamp ankle deep here, but what you and I have been able to witness in the safety world is nothing short of miraculous.
Go to the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and we heartily encourage people to do so because it's a great, ever-evolving display on our sport. But you go up there to Glory Road, right at the head of the line on Glory Road where they had the old cars, and you wonder how anybody ever survived it. You almost need a tetanus shot just to walk close to them. The safety considerations were non-existent at best. And it really is a miracle that we didn't lose more people in the 50s and 60s and even the 70s than we actually did. A lot of good things in the safety department have come in the last 10 or 12 years, and I hope that keeps coming.
You're getting ready to tie. What season will this be for you when they drop the green flag at Daytona in 2026?
I think I'm in the high 30s to low 40s. I showed up in like 83 or 84, doing a little bit of work here and there. It took me a while to get full time back then because there was no truck series to work. So the only time I got called is when Alan Bestwick or Eli Gold or Barney needed a weekend off or Joe Moore was off doing something. But I've been full time for a long time now. And I remember how long it is, Doug, when I get ready to climb those ladders. I climb the ladder like we race now. I climb a third and then I stop and rest for a minute. And then I climb a third and then I finally go to the top on the third try.
I scared my wife recently when we were putting up Christmas lights. I got on top of the pool house, which at its tallest point is 12 feet high. And she comes out of the house screaming at me. And she goes, "You have to get down." I said, "There's two ways to get down. I've got to take the slower way to come down the ladder here."
I got an oldest daughter that's just that same way. "Dad, stay off the ladder."
So what's the most precarious perch you have in racing right now?
Let's see. Once I'm up there, it's fine. Getting to the top at Darlington is a bit of an adventure because you're, in addition to being on top of a very tall billboard, the billboard is on top of a very tall embankment. And the ladder goes up at kind of a crazy angle, and you got to duck your head and climb underneath the railing to get into the very small crow's nest. Once you're there, it's a great view, and we get the best sunsets in NASCAR. But getting up there can be an exercise.
I'm thinking maybe they need to go out and find you a bucket truck sponsor.
Not a bad idea. The worst one, did you ever work from any of the Union 76 balls?
No, I did not.
That was the worst. I did that exactly once, and I can't remember now. I think it was Daytona, might have been Talladega. But those 76 balls, they were made out of about quarter-inch thick steel, and they had a window that was about a foot and a half tall and about 4 feet wide. And if you see the pictures of those 76 balls, 90% of the time, there's somebody hanging out of that ball up to his waist with no shirt on. They're not doing it to get a good view. They're getting it to try and breathe because on a good day, they were only about 138 degrees on the inside. On a bad day, you just didn't even want to talk about it.
I never called a race out of one, but I got in one and I thought, this looks like something out of a Mad Max movie. Some medieval torture device that somebody cooked up.
Don't miss them. Kenny Schrader's got one sitting in front of his shop, and he can have it. I don't ever want to go in those things again.
All right, Dave, appreciate the time, by the way. I do want to ask you this because I've asked everybody. Is there a driver amongst us now or somebody you can see that can be that next transcendent, bigger than NASCAR superstar, a Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart type. I'll throw Dale Jr. in there, but I actually think Dale Jr. is more popular now than he was when he was racing. And I know that's kind of hard to believe. Is there somebody out there that the general public can go, yeah, I like this guy, and they don't know anything about racing?
So hard to point a finger at them, because those names that you mentioned, Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart, when they first arrived, I don't think anybody pictured them as superstars. How many cars did Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart destroy in what's now the O'Reilly Auto Parts series, then the Busch series? I mean, it was a front clip a week for both of those guys until they got it figured out. Based on that, I kind of like Carson Hocevar, because he's got that don't give a darn attitude, yeah. And he's going to go to the front. And his take is, I don't need to make friends at the racetrack. All my friends are wearing the same uniform as me. And he's got a ton of talent behind the wheel. If he ever figures out how to harness that aggressiveness the way Gordon did, the way Tony Stewart did, I think he's going to be really good.
One coaching advice, don't file him down. Let him stay rough for a while. The other stuff will come. I really feel like I think he's that good. Dave, it's always fun to chat with you, especially during the off season when the conversation is not dictated about, well, you're headed to Michigan this week. What do you think about that?
No, it'll be at least a couple of weeks before we head to racetracks again. But yeah, it's a nice time of year to try and de-escalate a little bit. Always a pleasure to spend time with you, my friend. I appreciate the invite.
Dave Moody, he's the godfather on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. He is MRN Turn 1 personified.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, thanks for saving my engine. Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
I'm Kyle Busch, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Big thanks to both of our participants today here on Fast Talk. Holly Kane of the NASCAR Wire Services. You can catch Holly's writing throughout the year, and she is a frequent guest here on PRN and shows up over on Sirius Satellite Radio quite often. One of the major voices in our sport, Dave Moody. Thanks for the time, Dave. You can catch Dave on Sirius 5 days a week. And, of course, he is the lead turn announcer for the Motor Racing Network. Next week, we're going to visit with some folks from Fox Television. Jamie Little, the lead announcer for the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series and one of their all-star pit reporters, and then the voice, Mike Joy, Fox. Join us next week here on Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.